Pure Eye Podcast.
Welcome to the Pure Eye Podcast. I'm Gemma James with the Pure Eye, and today we will be discussing why investors should care about WASH, water sanitation and hygiene. To help us explore this, I'm joined by two guests. Firstly, we have Mark Rovell, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Water Asset Management, one of our US signatories, and he is also on the board of WaterAid America. And he's joined by Michael Alexander, who is the Global Head of Water, Environment and Agriculture Sustainability of the beverage company Diageo. So welcome, Mark and Michael. So WASH is not a term that is widely used within the investor community. So Mark, let's start with you by explaining to our listeners, what is WASH and why is it so important?
Thank you, Gemma. Well, I feel very honored to be on the call. I am presently just taking a moment away from a series of meetings here in Boston where a group called Ceres, which is an investor-focused, environmentally focused investor group, is meeting. There's over 700 people here. And the notion of WASH is very much on the topics. So WASH, from our perspective, both as an investor and as a member of WaterAid, is an extraordinarily important aspect of human development and economic stability. Water and sanitation are two very obviously necessary requirements for human existence, and has been recognized by the UN and articulated in their sustainable development goals. But from an investor and from an economic development point, these are areas which are incredibly scalable. An investment in water and sanitation provides extraordinary leverage to economic development. It obviously ensures the health of the population. It obviates the need for future medical spending down the road. It has tremendous opportunities for liberating portions of the workforce that is enslaved to the search of water and, more importantly, rendered ill from lack of sanitation and lack of good sanitary hygiene skills. So, tremendously important, very leverageable, and very much a focus of investors, and I would say increasingly corporates, as they look to improve their relationships with both their employees and their customers. And obviously, water asset management, we're, as an investor, we're invested in companies that improve both water quality and water availability. And from a WaterAid perspective, we work with the most underprivileged in terms of water and sanitation to make sure that they have access to both.
Great, thank you. And Michael, can you explain what the drivers are for businesses like Diageo to focus on WASH, and why is it seen as a material issue for Diageo?
And thank you, Gemma. Well, if I take you back a little while, it's probably over a decade now that Diageo has been investing in WASH, but it's very much changed in terms of its objectives and focus over the last 3 to 5 years. So originally, WASH and access to clean water sanitation was a philanthropic and a CSR type activity, and we did some tremendous work, particularly in Africa, under our Water of Life brand and program, where we brought clean water and sanitation to about 1 million Africans every year for 10 years. And that was an extraordinarily important part of our employee engagement and reputation and also giving back to the community aspect. But over the last 2 to 3 years, there's been a much more distinctive change in our approach, focus our investment more on communities where we impact directly rather than indirectly. So it's moved from a kind of CSR philanthropic type program to an integrated business and sustainability priority for the business, particularly in water-stressed areas such as Africa and India, where we've got significant operations. So now we very much deploy our WASH programs in communities where we've got breweries and distilleries, in agricultural communities where we're sourcing our raw materials, whether it's barley or sorghum or cassava. Whatever it is, we're looking to deploy these programs of access to water and sanitation in those areas so we can directly improve the relationships and the well-being and the livelihoods of those communities that we are relying on for our business. So that's where the kind of nuance has changed over the last 3 to 4 years, and that's where we're now very much focused in terms of demonstrating the economic case. The economic case, I think, for any employer in WASH is to have good water and access to water and sanitation at your place of work, and I think that's the basics. So there's a World Business Council for Sustainable Development initiative called WASH in the Workplace Pledge. Diageo and I think 47 other companies are signatories to that pledge, and that's just providing access to water and sanitation to employees at their place of work. And there's good, strong economic evidence in terms of productivity, reduced absence, retention, employee retention and recruitment around that investment in WASH at workplace. Where it becomes more complicated and more difficult to assess the financial value is where you're doing it in your supply chain. So that's another area that we're working on. But there's this very strong economic case for us, and we increasingly want to demonstrate it in terms of numerical financial return on investment rather than just indirect benefits to our business, and that's what we're working on at the moment.
And I think Michael raises an interesting point on the financial implications of successful WASH, because the issue with just water from an availability point of view is that although we don't think it's necessarily priced appropriately, but the absence of water is business critical. So the absolute value of although the unit cost is low and probably needs to be a bit higher, the critical nature of water for your supply chain is absolutely essential, and that I think is dawning on people. And then I think the other element which is important from the workplace is that all of these skills learned in the workplace then feed themselves back into the communities, which is where you get, you know, because a lot of the hand washing, all the basic things that we take for granted in terms of hygiene, quite frankly, for some are culturally new. And so to be able to be shown that it's you know, it's acceptable in the workplace, that feeds back into the home.
Great, thank you both. And you both mentioned supply chains. Is there a difference between implementing WASH within your direct operations and your supply chains? And also, how might it play out differently with the implementation of WASH between different regions and sectors?
Well, if I just touch on that first. I think in your own place of work, and there's been research done in terms of the return on investment, and I think generally it's been recognized that if we were to average it out, there's an estimated, if for every dollar invested in sanitation, the returns might be $5, typically $5 of benefit, and for every dollar invested in clean drinking water, it might be around $2. So these are mainly around health and time savings benefits and about productivity. So we see the economic case to invest in our place of work, and you can control that and measure that. I think where Diageo's next challenge is to measure that financial value in our agricultural supply chain. So we know that if we invest in our WASH program in a rural community that is growing crops for us and for themselves and for other off-takers, we know that by providing WASH access to sanitation locally, we know that they're reduced time in fetching water. We know perhaps there's a reduction in waterborne diseases, that there's increased gender empowerment, that there's increased child attendance at school. So all these benefits, these indirect benefits, if you like, are a benefit to the community well-being and the livelihoods, but also the productivity of the farming enterprise. And that's where we would like to start to see if we can try to measure that benefit to ourselves. So that's in addition to all the indirect benefits I listed there, there's also the direct benefit to us in terms of increased productivity of the farm, better quality, better yields, better relations with the farmers. So I think it's those indirect benefits that we're looking at. We've started a piece of work in partnership actually with WaterAid and co-funded by ourselves and Unilever and Gap Inc. And we've commissioned PwC and the ODI to do a piece of work here to develop a model where we can start to consistently quantify those indirect benefits that I mentioned. And that's a really important part of scaling up. So if we can prove the business case, the financial case for more investment in WASH, in pounds and shillings, then it would be an encouragement to scale up and for our suppliers and for other companies to further invest in WASH so we can tackle the massive problem we've got ahead of us.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to Michael's points is that one of the challenges with water is that, you know, quite frankly, water does not necessarily respect boundaries. So in our view, water is the ultimate renewable. So proper stewardship of the resource is absolutely essential. But in order to do that, you oftentimes have to go beyond your community and think upstream or into the larger watershed as to how, you know, proper stewardship of the entire water body can enhance the assets that are locally, you know, important to you. So you sort of have to think like water, which is always a challenge because that can take you across city lines, state lines, and country lines. But the other thing that from a sanitation point of view, and particularly from the hygiene point of view, you know, so many people are looking for scalable solutions to their philanthropic efforts. And, you know, this is very, very scalable. You know, teaching people proper hygiene and implementing and accepting proper sanitation standards have tremendous life benefits. And to the extent that, you know, people are looking for leverageable ways to scale up their philanthropic investments, these are things which not only are leverageable, but very durable. They last for a long time and quite frankly don't require tremendous amounts of infrastructure.
And Mark, you've touched a little bit on what I was going to ask next, which is, I mean, traditionally, investors have not paid much attention to WASH, but they are looking at corporate water risk, you know, quite regularly now. And they do have an expectation that their investee companies practice good water stewardship. So what are your thoughts on how WASH fits in with that being a good water steward?
I think it's absolutely essential. I think we are seeing greater recognition of water as an asset, and we spoke about this, this what we call the social license around water, that it in many ways could be one of your critical inputs to your production or your supply chain. So that is becoming increasingly recognized. I think that, you know, as with all of these things, the companies that think proactively about the economic sustainability of their operations and how they are not divorced from the communities in which they, you know, they operate and serve, those tend to be companies that are well managed and are generally thinking about risks in the right way. So in a very large sense, investors are realizing that the companies that think about these risks are generally managing them and anticipating them. But there is tremendous amount of improvement in data collection as well as transparency that needs to be made. And, you know, we feel that, you know, water is one of these very elemental areas which we work with all the companies in which we invest in to make sure that they are quite transparent about the impacts of water in their businesses. Now, we tend to focus only on industries that improve water quality and water availability, so they're naturally more inclined to do this. But as I mentioned earlier in my introduction, I just came away from a general investor conference where I would say more than a third of all the conversations were surrounding water and how do we properly gauge the stewardship by both the corporate world and in the government world with regards to the asset. So it's very much, you know, on the forefront of a lot of the questions that investors are asking of corporates. And, you know, increasingly, the SDGs are, you know, people are asking the right questions of how are we going to achieve them and how do we finance them? And more importantly, how do our corporates that we're invested in presently, how do they interact with them? So I'd say I've noticed a tremendous increase in awareness around the value and the importance of the SDGs and more importantly of the big gap between where we are today and actually achieving them. And I will say that I'm sitting here and I'm calling you from Boston today, but the United States has been a notable laggard in recognizing some of these issues and is rapidly catching up at the corporate level.
And Jem, if I could just add, I think WASH is absolutely fundamental to corporate good practice, corporate water stewardship. And in fact, the kind of the global standard for good corporate water stewardship, which is from the Alliance for Water Stewardship, it recognizes this and includes a big part of its standard and indicators on WASH, both at place of work, but also WASH in supply chain. So, you know, it's an absolute integral part of corporate water stewardship. And to the point about SDG 6, it's fundamental to companies' efforts to help the UN and everybody else achieve SDG 6. And if we can't do that, then I don't think that corporates are playing their part in helping to deliver SDG 6. So fundamental part of it.
Great. That's a lovely way to round up. So I have two more questions that I'd like to run with you two. First one is, this has been a very informative discussion, and I think the investors will take a lot home from this. If they were keen to find out more on WASH, where can we direct them?
Well, from a corporate perspective, there's a host of different organizations. First of all, I would start with the UN Global Compact CEO Water Mandate, plenty of that online. And then I would obviously go to the experts, WaterAid and many other organizations, in terms of the actual implementation. So I don't think that Diageo would claim that it's an expert in implementing water projects. That's why we partner with WaterAid and others. They're the experts to deliver the projects on the ground. But equally, in terms of the return of investment and the broader benefits of investing in WASH, then the CA Water Mandate, the UN Global Compact CA Water Mandate, is a good place to start with a whole host of tools and information in that, and also links to other organizations that can help.
And I would point out the organization I've been meeting with this week, CERES, that's CERES, is a U.S.-based environmental investor organization, and they've done a number of products which are focused on water, specifically investor toolkits to analyze water risk, both in public equities and private equities. So those are some very tangible tools from the investor perspective on how to assess, you know, water risks in your portfolio. But I think the ongoing empowerment of the consumer and acknowledgement that water is the ultimate renewable. The consumer is getting more and more intelligent about how their water is being delivered to them. And quite frankly, you know, we hope to have more and more case studies of powerful examples where corporates have addressed this, have had reputational improvements, have had demonstrable, and this is the one thing about water which is very, very tangible, is that you can have concrete, measurable improvements in, you know, water availability, water quality, you know, lifespan improvements, declining mortality. So it just has so many measurable elements that, you know, we feel it's one of the things that people should tackle first as they get serious about the SDGs.
And if there is one key message that you would both like our investor audience to take home with them today, what would that be?
My one single message would be around WASH is no longer, or the provision of access to clean water and sanitation is no longer about purely for a business such as ourselves about charity and feeling good. It's now a central part of good practice for corporate water stewardship. It's recognized widely for that. And there's a strengthening financial business case for investment by businesses in WASH in their supply chains.
I think Michael said it very well. I would only add that, and I'm repeating myself, is that it is the ultimate renewable. We have the same amount of water today that we had 10,000 years ago, and it's up to us to continue to steward its or champion its proper sustainable stewardship. And unfortunately, water is inequitably distributed. So many of the areas of population growth happen to be in areas of considerable water stress, and that is a challenge which will continue. And, you know, we need to continue to focus on what is, we think, the ultimate distributed healthcare service, which is sanitation. I mean, this is a low-cost way to avoid many, many, many lifelong risks that can be implemented at scale. And that's very important, both for businesses, but for society as a whole.
Thank you for those excellent insights. Mark, Michael, it's been a pleasure to have you today, and thank you for sharing your perspective on WASH on PRI Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this PRI Podcast. For more information on responsible investment, please visit us at unpri.org.